Hiya. Hello and welcome to Beyond Reproach. Stephanie here with my favorite summer break re-release episode. I am here today picking Obama's tan suit as my favorite episode that Tux did this season. I love this whole episode so much. It's actually my favorite to date because of this scandal. From start to finish, I'm crying and mentally rolling on the floor laughing because it's just so ridiculous. And Tux gets me directly out of the gate with this insanely hyperbolic opening detailing a scandal that's so disturbing that it rocked the foundations of an entire administration and shook the nations to its core. It's so absurd. And when it's revealed that it was Obama's tan suit, I literally lost it. I remember very distinctly ignoring this scandal when it happened because it just seemed so absurd and so obviously racist. I never really looked into it. I didn't really know that there was going to be an issue, basically, but I learned through Tux's retelling of this story that the levels of hot takery surrounding his suit were, out of this world. I stay away from contemporary scandals because I love surprises, and I think our listeners also love surprises, so I'm attracted to stories that feel like I've unearthed fossils, but at the same time shedding light on something happening in contemporary time. So yeah, I truly bow down to Tux for doing this scandal that everyone knew, yet no one really knew. It felt fresh and funny and just really surprising. I loved all of the details. Plus, I finally had an opportunity to roast Lou Dobbs and his Technicolor hairpiece over an open flame, so that was really fun. My one critique, though, is that this scandal reveals how time has slowed down. 2014 feels like 3 decades ago, and it's only been 6 years. So hearing that was mentally jarring, and I'm still getting over it, but it's okay. Enjoy this episode!
I guess I have to talk.
Good luck with that.
Tighten my corset. The story I'm doing today, first of all, I feel like, again, unplanned. We always do this. Unplanned.
What? They
this
match
is like
mirror?
This is like Beyond Reproach racist edition.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Into it.
So the story today I'm doing is
yeah. I'm sorry. Again, the alcohol has made my laughs like 10 seconds to leave?
Yeah, you're on a delay.
I'm just like, ha ha ha, racism.
Hilarious. America, etc.
Go on, I'm sorry.
So the story I'm telling today is much more contemporary than the types of stories I usually like to tell. It's one that I would say...
Like 80s?
More current than that.
Oh, okay.
It's one that I would say probably all of our listeners are familiar with in one way or another.
Okay.
The reason that I thought it was worth telling, though, is that I think a lot of people, while they do know that this happened, don't know all the details behind how and why it played out the way it did. This is a crazy fucking story. It's crazy.
I like the crazy. People are tuning in for the crazy.
Yes. So this is a scandal so heinous.
Ooh.
And so disturbing.
Uh-oh.
That it rocked the foundations of an entire administration and shook the very nation to its core.
Okay, that is a strong statement. That feels like hyperbole, but maybe not.
We're going to be talking about
uh-oh.
Obama's tan suit.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Oh my god. Oh no. Oh man, it's funny cuz it's true.
Yeah.
Oh man, stupid.
Stupid. Damn, I'm drunk.
Okay. Oh, what a fun story. I already love this. I don't know anything about this other than like it made no sense to me.
It made no sense to me.
And I knew that it was a scandal, but I'm like, but why?
Yeah, exactly.
He's foine.
Like. Yeah, this is why I wanted to tell the story, because people know that it happened. We're still talking about it. But like,
we are still talking about
why?
It. I don't know.
Yeah.
You will tell me.
So on August 28th, 2014... President Barack Obama stepped up to the podium.
A day that will live in infamy.
Yes, exactly.
What was it? August 20 what?
August 28th, 2014.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
One for the history books.
Never forget.
Yes. I have that on the back of my car.
There's like an outline of Obama, it's someone a suit, in a silhouette says, in a tan suit.
Yes.
Never forget.
Yeah. So President Obama stepped up to the podium for a press conference. He wanted to talk about the economy, the threat of ISIS in Iraq and Syria, and what to do about Russian violence against Ukraine. At this point, we already had a strategy in place of targeted airstrikes in Iraq. These airstrikes were working to destroy arms and supplies. And also, Iraqi and Kurdish forces were working with us to help push back the terrorist threat in their country. But as ISIS's hold over Iraq was beginning to diminish, their roots in Syria were starting to expand, and people were freaking out about it. There was a report released that there had been planes were flying over Syria in an effort to survey potential airstrike targets. So there was all this speculation that the Obama administration planned to, like, we were already doing these airstrikes in Iraq, but there was speculation that we were about to start doing it in Syria too. So Obama, I would say the biggest reason that he held this press conference, there were other things that he wanted to talk about, but the biggest reason was he wanted to talk about what we were doing in Syria. He got up in front of everybody and said, you know, at the moment, we're weighing our options in Syria, but currently, for the moment, airstrikes are going to remain limited to Iraq, at least for right now. The main focus for the moment was going to be focusing on keeping our people, our troops or whatever in Syria safe while we figured out what the next step was going to be.
Okay.
So that was his message. Then the floor opens up to questions. Somebody asks
Why are you wearing a tan suit?
Yes.
Excuse me, Stephanie from NPR. You look good.
The fuck?
But why are you wearing a tan suit?
Yeah. So when pushed on what the strategy in Syria was really going to be, he said, you know, he had asked his defense secretary and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to prepare a range of options for him for confronting ISIS, and they were working together to figure out what they were going to do.
Okay.
But at the moment, he said, we don't have a strategy yet. Now, because Americans are not super great at subtlety
and things being ambiguous.
Yeah, and we don't really understand the complexities that go into military operations or political moves. The media and the press decided to jump on those six little words. We don't have a strategy yet.
Oh.
Became a rallying cry for the right to use against Obama. Michelle Bachmann tweeted, not having a strategy perfectly sums up the foreign policy approach of President Obama's entire presidency. And John McCain tweeted, we don't have a strategy yet. President Obama, 8/28/14, hashtag ISIS is the largest, richest terrorist group in history, and 192,000 dead in hashtag Syria.
Okay.
ABC News said, Obama's blunt admission that we don't have a strategy yet landed with a thud. The White House press secretary had
They didn't have a strategy yet. Like, it's okay.
It just started happening.
Yeah.
Like, he's just coming out to say, like, we recognize it's a threat.
He's not flying from the seat of his pants like people we know.
His tan pants.
From his beautiful tan pants. His sculpted from basketball derriere in those tan pants. I don't want to sexualize former president.
Sure you do.
But I do.
Like, literally, he's saying, like, we just figured out this is a problem, and we're working on it.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, well, you don't have a strategy yet? What the fuck?
It's like, you're supposed to lie.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, that's basically the whole point.
You're supposed to lie.
That was not a part of his statement. It was something he said.
He's over here telling the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are just like, but lie to us.
Then the White House press secretary came out, like, trying to do damage control and was like, no, there is a strategy.
We're working on it.
But it's evolving.
Yeah.
And the Pentagon is developing a plan and Obama is still reviewing it.
People are thinking about things. Imagine that. What?
We're not going to just, like,
go.
Yeah.
Things that take time.
But it was too late. What was done was done.
I mean, he should have just been tweeting.
Exactly. Well, this was also at a time when we still had press briefings.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. They weren't from the toilet.
Yeah. So these policy experts came out. Somebody was quoted as saying, no matter what Obama meant Thursday, his omission of no clear-cut strategy only serves to embolden the likes of ISIS.
Oh, wow. That's strong.
But The real thing is that this is not what Americans were focusing on after this press conference. What seemed to have been a routine press conference right before Labor Day was not. What was really getting under people's skin was not Syria policy or lack thereof, but the color of Obama's light tan suit. During the press conference, Twitter lit up before he even said, "We don't have a strategy yet." Twitter was already lit up. It started innocently enough with a few clever puns.
Ooh.
I know you love a pun.
I don't.
Psych.
Thank you for saying yeah. Psych.
I do love a pun, though. The audacity of taupe. And yes, we... yes.
So, okay, you guys, as shown by my belly laughter, love a pun, but also I think I'm better than puns. Yeah. They hit me, and then I laugh, and then I feel sad because I'm better than this.
It got you. The pun got you.
They all, yeah.
So it was the audacity of taupe and yes, we tan were the two that were really big.
Oh.
But then...
I'm sorry. Come on.
No, I need to take another fucking
sip. That is hilarious.
But then... Congressman Peter King, a Republican from Long Island.
Oh!
Do you know Peter King?
Sure do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go off on my Peter King. He's just, yeah, he's one of many who are just really extra racist.
Yeah.
Like, not even trying to pretend.
He's separate from Steve King.
I know! I know, right? Yes. Oh, who's worse?
I would say Steve King is probably worse.
Yeah.
Steve King is definitely worse,
He's
actually.
Definitely worse. You're right.
Anyways.
The Kings are... Go on.
Other than Martin Luther.
I was about to, when I said the Kings, I'm like,
So Peter King was a Republican congressman from Long Island, New York.
Long Island.
Crazy that, but Long Island is a different place than New York City.
Very different place. It's suburban.
Immediately after this press conference, he was on an interview. I think he was already scheduled to be like, this wasn't like. Because of the press conference, he was already supposed to be there, but then he used the press conference to kind of like get people to pay attention to him because nobody cared about him. So he said that the tan suit was a metaphor for Obama's lack of seriousness on fighting terrorism. And that he, quote, looked like he was on his way to a party at the Hamptons.
Oh.
The very next day, King...
I like that he's pretending that he knows what a metaphor is.
So the very next day, he appears on this right-wing internet TV news show that, like...
Yeah, because he's...
It's an internet TV news show.
That's
no one is watching the shit.
But that's appropriate of his, like, level of seriousness.
Yeah, exactly. The show is called Newsmax TV.
Oh, yes.
Famous Newsmax TV.
Emmy Award-winning.
Yeah, exactly. So he goes on Newsmax TV and he says, quote, "There's no way, I don't think... any of us can excuse what the president did yesterday. I mean, you have the world watching. For him to walk out, I'm not trying to be trivial here, in a light suit, a light tan suit.
What?
And he's trying to act like, you know, real Americans care about the economy.
What?
Not about ISIS and not about terrorism.
I'm so confused.
And then he goes on to say that he has no strategy.
What?
ISIS is watching. If you were the head of ISIS, if you were Baghdadi, if you were anyone in the ISIS,
oh,
would you come away from yesterday afraid the of ISIS, the United States?
Like the Ohio State University. Did you know that it's the Ohio State?
No,
and not
I did
just
not know
Ohio
that.
State. It's so weird.
Would you be afraid that the United States was going to use all its power to crush ISIS, or would you think, here's a person who's going to go out and do a few fundraisers over the Labor Day weekend? And with that stupid fucking little piddly internet news TV show that nobody had even heard of and no one was watching other than fucking Steve Bannon or some shit.
Yeah.
The floodgates were open.
Huh.
Major cable news shows held roundtable discussions on Obama's choice of suit.
What?
Roundtable discussions.
A war happening?
We're talking about fucking Syria and targeted airstrikes and no.
Why are we talking?
Tan
cause,
suit.
Because America.
Suit. Yeah.
Because America.
Fashion critics and image consultants were brought in to discuss whether or not the choice of suit was appropriate or not. TV news reporters conducted man-on-the-street interviews in Northeast Ohio.
Oh, no.
To find out what people thought.
Why are you telling me this? Why are you trying to hurt me?
Fox News' Lou Dobbs said that the suit was unpresidential.
Stop there. Yeah. Lou Dobbs cannot say anything. The man is still pretending that he's blonde. Okay? Lou Dobbs, you're an old man.
Go away already.
Seriously. Ew.
So he said that Obama's suit was unpresidential and then tried to say that Obama, literally, I can't even... tried to say that Obama was actively trying to send a secret hidden message.
What?
Possibly to our enemies.
Through his suit?
Through the color of his suit as a signal.
A signal to what? Like
to like ISIS to be like, we don't care, go ahead. So the tweet storm that had started innocently enough with the audacity of Taupe had morphed into tweets like hashtag beige Ghazi.
No.
Yes.
No.
GQ said the suit was terrible. And Esquire called it
GQ?
Yes.
GQ? That has nothing but tan suits? Like,
I know. Esquire called it a monstrosity. A monstrosity.
But why? But it's
good
just,
fucking question. Gawker had an article, the headline of an article. President Obama shames America by wearing whack-ass tan suit.
Okay. What white person wrote that terrible headline?
The White House press secretary tried to like make jokes about it on Twitter, but it was too late. Even The Atlantic was in on it.
Well, I guess it's just everyone is talking about it, so you want to like, seem like relevant exactly. by talking about utter nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How no, dare totally. They demean they just had themselves to, like, in that way?
So,
like Esquire, like you're not a real you're fashion, and for you to be calling a suit bad is like garbage. But like, The Atlantic should be better.
So the Atlantic headline was, no one heard anything Obama just said because his tan suit was so loud. Like, from the article, the article's actually, it says, President Obama gave an important press conference and even took questions from the press. But all of this was overshadowed by the fact that Obama debuted one of the ugliest suits in the history of this great nation.
It's not ugly, though. This is crazy to me.
Instead of debating the validity of our foreign policy in the Middle East, Eastern Europe, or Central America, Twitter abandoned its usually academic tone.
Ah! I love The Atlantic. That's hilarious.
Yeah. Twitter abandoned its usually academic tone to focus on whether the tan or beige suit was awful, fittingly summary, or a sign to our enemies abroad that we're weak.
Okay, so they're being funny.
Yeah, yeah.
They're being funny. Yeah. Okay, so I accept their take on this.
Today, it feels like this, quote, scandal was a million fucking years ago. In reality, this was 2014. This is less than 6 years ago.
Shit.
The issue is that the political landscape has changed so much since 2014 that people like to use the tan suit scandal as a metaphor.
It does seem like so long ago when you said like beige Ghazi. I'm just like, no, but Benghazi was recent.
Yeah.
And this was like ancient history.
Yeah, no, same era.
Wow.
People like to use this scandal as sort of a metaphor for the differences between Obama's administration and the current one.
What current one? I have no president.
Yeah, exactly.
A girl has no president.
The thing is, this was not the only scandal of the Obama years.
Like,
NSA surveillance.
Obama's like, arms?
I know. Well, that's another,
the one that I'm thinking of. Yeah. Like, that's all I'm thinking of.
Yeah. But there were some real scandals, not as big as like some of the bigger ones that we've discussed on
Her
the
biceps,
show, but there were, yes, exactly. But there were some things that were, NSA surveillance is probably like the one that I.
And all the drone strikes.
Totally. Yeah.
Terrible.
The thing is, under the current administration, every day brings a new scandal, each one crazier than the last.
There's a horse loose in a hospital.
Yeah. So it's like, yes, this is why we're using this as a metaphor for like what things were like 6 years ago versus how they are now. So today, I really want to talk about like the reasons that people thought that it was such a big to-do that he wore this tan suit.
Okay.
First, I want to talk about the suit itself and like why it felt so remarkable for people to see Obama wearing a tan suit, like why people cared in such a big way. So some fashion experts came out and said,
I don't understand this at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get there. But so these fashion experts, or some fashion experts came out and said that the suit itself, beyond the color, that the suit looked cheap and ill-fitted, which is fucking bullshit. They said that it looked too big on him.
It didn't.
But like, yeah. Has anybody seen what the current president...
I was just about to say, I'm like, he got his shit from Sears. Like,
and nobody's talking about that.
I mean, yeah, because, yeah.
Because he's white.
You said it, not me.
Yeah. This suit had been specifically fitted for Obama by Georges de Paris, a tailor who had fitted Obama for every single suit he wore for his entire presidency.
Yeah.
And not only that, Georges de Paris had been in charge of fitting every single president in the White House since Lyndon B. Johnson.
Damn! Oh, wow. That is garbage.
So suddenly he makes this one suit and it's cheap and ill-fitted?
Yes.
But every other suit since Lyndon B. Johnson totally has been fine.
Totally fine on those bodies and those colors.
So clearly, definitively, the suit is not cheap and ill-fitted.
Why was it
the color? Well, no. But also, yes. Was this the first time that a president had worn...
It cannot be.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because the range for male suits are so limited that tan is just part of the mix.
Yes.
It's absolutely. Always been part of the mix.
Yeah. Guess out of all the presidents, well, JFK. Like sort of modern presidents who loved tan suits.
Reagan. Of course.
Reagan.
Of course.
Loved
but
tan
Reagan
suits.
But Reagan was white.
Right, yeah.
The tan suits are for the white man.
Yeah.
For the pale. The pale man.
Because a tan suit looks too good on brown skin, so it's a crime.
I mean, factual. Okay. Oh, now I understand. Completely understand. We can just end this here.
The end. Goodbye.
He looked too good.
Yeah. No, but so Reagan, like, wore tan suits, like, he wore them casually around the White House. He wore them during press conferences.
Oh, of course he did.
He wore them when meeting important dignitaries and politicians.
Wow.
He wore them to meet Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke.
Did he wear them to signal to Syria that...
Yes, that we're weak. Yes. I love jelly beans.
Yes! Jelly beans are delicious.
He wore them to meet Australian Prime Minister Bob Hawke, Sandra Day O'Connor, and he also wore them during an historic meeting with Pope John Paul II during the Cold War. Eisenhower also wore tan suits. So did George Bush, Senior and Junior.
What? Okay, so did this Bill is Clinton. Garbage. This is truly insane to me.
Yes. Mitch McConnell has been photographed in a tan suit.
No one's talking
so
about
So has
that
Rudy Giuliani. And so have countless other high-ranking politicians.
I don't know these people.
We have countless photographs of mayonnaise in a tan suit.
Ew.
Like blocks of cream cheese with a face.
Maybe it is because he looked too good.
Time magazine at the time wrote that seeing Obama in a tan suit was, quote, tantamount to seeing a performer out of costume.
What?
But why?
Well,
they're not wrong. The thing is, unlike Reagan, Obama did not wear tan suits.
No, he didn't. Because
he never did.
Michelle wouldn't let him.
Well, yeah. Really?
Well, black people have to be better.
Yeah.
We have to project an image that's unnaturally better in all senses of the word.
Yeah.
We have to be twice as good to get half as far.
But it's a tan suit. Who gives a shit?
I think black women are very acute because we're a double minority. We're not the only double minority, but it's like we see how we understand optics.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like, you are at this level and like, yes, Reagan and like all these other people can wear tan suits, but not you because you're black.
Michelle literally said, don't.
Told him not to wear that suit.
Wow.
Told
I didn't
him
know
not
that.
To wear
that was
that.
Not a part of
yeah,
my
it was in her latest,
wow.
It was in her memoir that she told him and he's like, it's just a suit. And she's like, okay.
Damn.
Listen to your wives.
Yeah. So, in a Vanity Fair profile from 2012, Obama was asked about his routine in the White House, and he said, quote, you need to remove from your life the day-to-day problems that absorb most people for meaningful parts of their day. You'll see that I only wear gray or blue suits. I'm trying to pare down decisions. I don't want to make decisions about what I'm eating or wearing because I have too many other decisions to make.
So, sorry to interrupt.
No.
But I haven't read her book yet, but my sister has read it, and she talks about all of the painstaking decisions she had to make regarding the way that she looked.
Yeah.
Because she is a woman.
She was attacked
and she
for wearing
is
bare
a black
sleeves.
Woman. Like, so it's just like hours of her day were spent projecting her next, what she was going to wear outside the next day.
Yeah.
Whereas Brock could just wake up and wear a black suit and be fine.
Well, this is also probably part of it. He doesn't say that specifically in his profile because
he never thought
about.
You can't
say that because people don't want to hear that racism is a thing.
I mean, yeah, I guess
in a Vanity Fair, if he said I have to wear like a pared down wardrobe,
she talks about like he didn't even really think about it like that. But also, he's just a man.
Yeah,
I think that's part of it too. Like, you don't have to think about crafting an image, whereas like a black woman and like the first lady, you have to be an image.
There's so much more. You can't wear the same dress over and over and over and over and over in the way that a man can wear the same suit.
Over and over and over and over.
Whereas a woman, if you were to do that, they'd be like, well, she's unimaginative or like boring or whatever. Just, she would be ripped to shreds for that.
Or she's looking too sexy. Yeah, like her hair is down and she's wearing a V-cut. Like all these things that like... She would have to project her image, her dress, and her hair. Nothing could be too sexy.
Yeah.
Or too nice.
Yeah.
Because it's like you're trying to hit this market.
Totally.
It's just insane. She was just lamenting that, you know, my husband can just roll out of bed and put on a black suit.
Yeah. So he goes on in the same Vanity Fair profile to say that he read some research that shows that the simple act of making decisions can impair your ability to make further decisions throughout your day. He said... You need to focus your decision-making energy. You need to routinize yourself. You can't be going through the day distracted by trivia. My wife makes fun of how routinized I've become.
Yes, no, that's correct. But I do understand what he's saying, and he's such a like intellectual, but I could see that him like just trying to whittle away the things that he doesn't need to think about.
Because
to
he's focus a fucking on things. President of the United States.
And also he cares, too.
He's trying to do a good job.
Because he has to do a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
He can't just be a fucking mess.
Because he has to do twice as good of a job as anyone else to even be recognized. Yeah. But so in this effort to sort of streamline his life and pare down all these decisions so that he can save the mental energy required of being the
most
amazing president. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
I couldn't
you
imagine.
Know, in doing this, he created an image of himself. And the image was so constant.
Yes.
That seeing him in a different color... really did feel like you were seeing a performer out of character. It didn't matter what the color was.
It was in sweatpants?
No, I know, but it was just like visually jarring after he was in office for several years and people were used to seeing him in these dark, serious suits. And then suddenly he's in a light suit. Shock, you know, it wouldn't have been that big of a deal. It started with these like puns, or you know, yes, we tan,
and yes, we tan is hilarious.
It wouldn't have gone to Beige Ghazi if it hadn't been for Peter King. There is a reason that things like got to this place, and that reason, of course, is racism.
Duh.
Specifically, the reason is the open and vocal racism of certain key political figures who are not afraid to use racism as a tool for distraction and diversion.
Yeah, I mean, racism is the... It works.
It really works.
It works. Yeah.
It's so easy.
It's so easy. And we've been doing it for hundreds of years that it's just right there.
And it's so American.
Yes.
Not that there isn't racism outside of...
There's racism outside of America, obviously, outside of the United States, obviously. But we're talking about this country and it was founded in racism.
I mean, look at the story you just told.
Yeah.
Like,
all of the stories are racist. Yeah. Like the foundational story, like the fact that... We discovered a place that had people who were living on this continent for millennia.
Yeah.
But we discovered it.
Yeah.
And we took it over. Like, that's racist.
Yeah.
There's this amazing meme that I see around Thanksgiving. And it's a picture of the country. And it's like, you got a nice country there. It would be a shame if someone discovered it. And it's like a close-up of his face. I laugh every year. It's still so funny because it's true. Garbage. But yeah, no, I do understand if you're like, if you're seeing President Obama wearing black suits and navy suits or charcoal gray suits, seeing a tan suit would be, it shouldn't be this destabilizing, but I kind of get, if you have a sort of mindset, I guess,
Americans also have a short attention span. So after years of seeing this, they're like, that's just what American presidents just wear dark suits.
So we just forget about like George W., who was like living in like on the ranch, like just being real cash about lots of things.
But he wasn't black.
I'm just going to stop talking to you guys because duh.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you're not wrong.
Yeah. Obviously, yes, it was a visual shock to see Obama in a tan suit, but the larger reason here is
a visual
is
shock
racism.
For white people, because yeah. I heard about the scandal and I'm just like, he looks good in the suit.
Good. I think it also was not a visual shock for a huge number of people that didn't even think about it.
Because why would you?
Yeah.
Like, why are we having roundtables about this?
Because of Peter King. Well, he was not the only person responsible for this shit. We do need to take a closer look at Peter King.
But why? He sucks.
To illustrate why this all played out the way it did.
Okay.
He's a well-known and outspoken racist.
Yes.
But he's also probably the one who is the most instrumental in getting this whole tan suit scandal, you know, getting the ball rolling on the whole thing. When it comes to, like, the news or responsible journalism, it is difficult to pin down any one single action and prove without a doubt that that action was motivated by racism. But if you zoom out and look at a person's actions and career as a whole, a legacy of racist comments and actions becomes much clearer and harder to deny.
Yeah.
Peter King has a well-documented history of vocal racism and hateful rhetoric. Peter King blamed Eric Garner for his own death. He said that if Garner hadn't been so obese, he probably wouldn't have died. And then went on to praise the grand jury for, quote, doing justice by not indicting the cop that killed him. Peter King has compared NFL players kneeling for the national anthem to protest racial injustice to Nazi salutes, to say the least. That's a stretch.
Yeah.
He also has said that there is a false narrative of police bias against black men.
Oh, okay.
That's easy for you to say as a fucking
white racist man
from Long Island.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has used racial slurs against Asian Americans on Fox News's Morning Joe. And he's also targeted the LGBTQ community, voting against marriage and adoption equality, and even voting against anti-discrimination laws.
Well, hate is hate. It all stems from the same river.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that he's just like, I hate everyone who's not white.
Well, this is
straight.
Like what we were saying in the last story, that you can replace one character with another. If they're not black, they're Chinese.
Yeah.
If they're not Chinese, they're gay.
Native American.
Yeah,
they're Muslim. They're fat. They're not him.
Yeah, exactly. So most notable about King's career, though, is his extreme Islamophobia and his insistence on trying to tie the Muslim faith to terrorism despite his own ties to terrorism.
They're trying to institutionalize Islamophobia like they institutionalize racism. It's so,
I know.
So obvious.
Yeah. But the motherfucker has his own ties to terrorism, and he's trying to be like, those terrorists are brown, so those ones are bad.
Yes. White terrorism is not real terrorism.
Yeah. In the 1980s, Peter King was a fervent supporter of the terrorist group, the Irish Republican Army.
Oh, no. Wow.
In 1985, he even said that
IRA.
Yes.
Like Bond, okay.
Yeah, civilians. Exactly.
Huh.
In 1985, he said that he was comfortable with them murdering innocent civilians if that's what they needed to do. He said, quote, if civilians are killed in an attack on a military installation, it is certainly regrettable, but I will not morally blame the IRA for it. A judge in Belfast once threw King out of an IRA murder trial, calling him an obvious collaborator. And King also once complained that the Secret Service had been investigating him as a security risk because of his ties to terrorism. Between 1969 and...
What's wrong with my terrorism?
Yeah, so between 1969 and 1994, the IRA was responsible for the deaths of about 1,800 people, including roughly 600 civilians.
Yeah.
Shockingly, despite his terrorist ties, Peter King took over as chairman of the Homeland Security Committee in 2011.
I'm not shocked.
I think that's fucking scandalous.
Is
like
it?
He's a fucking terrorist collaborator,
but he's
and he
white.
Is now the chairman of the
Terrorism is brown. It's for brown people.
I know.
So, but I guess it's a double standard, but the double standard has always been there, so yeah. I'm not shocked at all.
Yeah. He quickly launched hearings on radicalization among Muslim, American Muslim communities. Representative Sheila Jackson Lee called it a way to demonize and castigate a whole broad base of human beings. Nobody was listening.
No one cares. You're a woman. Shh.
He has openly said that there are, quote, too many mosques in the United States, and falsely claimed that 85% of American mosques were controlled by extremist leadership.
Yes, his own statistics.
His own, that he...
He did the research, you guys. Don't look for his sources. He just did it.
He knows what they are, and that's all that matters.
Thank you.
He said that Muslim Americans don't cooperate with law enforcement.
What?
And that police should be infiltrating Muslim communities...
Well, they are.
...for increased surveillance.
They are.
Probably under his direction. Peter King has also said that President George W. Bush should get a medal for torturing terror suspects.
What kind of medal is this?
Like Steve that medal King's doesn't exist.
Award for racism?
Exactly. Yes. This is the man who goes on TV and makes this jump from Obama's suit as a visual shock to a supposed signal to ISIS that the president of the United States is soft on terrorism. A few people at the time tried to look for like a silver lining in this whole thing and say that the way Obama's clothing was being criticized was sort of a win for women's equality. Vox even published an article with the headline, "The Obama Suit Backlash is a Promising Sign of Gender Equality."
Oh,
I'm going to go out on a limb here and guess that the person who wrote that article was a white woman.
Duh. Such a white woman. not all white women. However,
she's the same woman from our minisode is using body positivity to say, like, it's okay that I have a little dimple in my butt in my yoga pants.
Yes.
Anyways, so the theory here is that since women in politics are constantly having their wardrobes dissected and discussed in nauseatingly tedious detail, seeing this happen to a straight man is somehow a sign of progress.
A straight black man.
Yes. So while it is true that straight men do not usually have to deal with this kind of bullshit.
It'd be progress to see it on a straight white man.
Well, so this is my thing is like, it's not progress
it's not
to
progress.
Go backwards.
Yeah, it's true.
It is not progress to see Obama having his wardrobe dissected. It would have been progress if men stopped criticizing women's wardrobe. Going backwards is not going
forward. No one's body should be there for like public consumption. Like you shouldn't have to dress to be heard.
Yeah.
Or to be seen in a certain way. You should be able to wear whatever you want and like not have your message like distorted because you're wearing a fucking tan suit that's fitted and it looks real good. Like
this actually further illustrates the point that this would never have happened if it weren't for Obama's race.
Never. In a million years.
This is just one more way that straight white men can attempt to assert their power and their superiority over anyone who is not a straight white man.
It's white supremacy in action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By focusing on such trivial details about a person, they're attempting to trivialize that person.
Yes.
Trivialize their authority, trivialize their credibility, and also make it clear that they're not going to be taken seriously because they are not a straight white man.
Yes.
We're not going to take you seriously.
Yeah.
We're going to criticize you on whatever the fuck we feel like.
Whatever.
Because your message isn't important because you're not one of us.
Because you're not one of us. You don't look like us. Therefore, we can attack you on anything you do that steps out of line. And women do face this as well. But it's only because he's a black man.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's under this level of scrutiny that they're able to completely derail his message based on the fact that he's wearing a suit that many other presidents have worn.
Totally. Obama essentially loses his straight male privilege of not having to answer for his wardrobe choices.
Yeah.
Because it's outweighed by his race.
Yes.
And Peter King's racism.
Yeah.
Peter King, it should be noted, has also been known to wear a tan suit. So, like I said before, this scandal today is used most often as a metaphor for the squeaky clean image of the Obama administration. But the real story is shit today is so out of control.
Ugh.
that even a war criminal like George W. Bush is somehow seen as more respectable
and softer
somehow when compared to the current
administration. Insane.
So the real reason this scandal has endured for so long and is still being discussed today is the fucking absurdity of the whole fucking thing.
When it happened, I didn't get it, but then I got it because I'm like, oh, he's black.
Yeah.
But then it didn't die down. It took a while for it to die down. I'm just
But now it's popping back up.
Are we really talking about this?
Yeah, now that we're under this new administration, I think a lot of liberals like to look back at it as like, well, see what you did when this happened and look at the way things are now and nobody's saying anything.
There has always been a double standard. I guess it's good that liberals are finally seeing it, but like it was there at the time, right there under the surface. On the surface.
Yeah, that's basically the end of the story. I do want to end on a quote from a Washington Post reporter, Jason Rezaian. The month before Obama's press conference in the tan suit, Rezaian was arrested in Iran on espionage charges and was convicted in an Iranian trial in 2015. He was released in 2016, and on the tan suit scandal's fifth anniversary in 2019, he tweeted his take on the whole mess. I was in prison when this happened. Today is literally the first time I'm hearing of it.
Oh, no. Oh, poor guy.
If this was actually a thing to be covered at the time, and now, we are indeed the most privileged and perhaps pettiest nation ever.
Facts on facts. Big facts there.
Big facts.
I feel so bad for him that he just found out. When he was imprisoned.
I mean, I feel worse for him for being in an Iranian prison.
I mean, duh, that too. But like, just the absurdity of it all.
Yeah.
To like, live through what he's lived through and then like, have this be the scandal?
And the fact that the whole thing was like, he was giving a press conference about ISIS in Iraq and Syria. And this man is in a prison in Iran.
Wow. Yeah, that is sobering-ish.
Yeah.
These drinks are very strong.
It's hard to get sober.
But I feel like this is the closest of sober I've been drinking these two cocktails. I'm like, ooh.
I thought it was an important story to tell, even though it's so stupid.
Stupid. Thank you.
I mean, the story itself, there are reasons that racism manifests itself the way it does, and I thought that it was worthwhile to look back at it and be like, this is why we're talking about this. Yeah. This is why...
Pete King trying to give the other king a run for his money. Literally. It's like, I'm going to out-racist you.
Yeah.
He hasn't, though. But it's hard.
Oh my
it's
God.
Hard. He's a high bar.
Recently, Chuck Schumer like praised Pete King as like a politician with integrity, and everyone roasted him. A lot of the facts I got about Pete King came from the articles that were like, what the fuck is wrong with Chuck Schumer?
He's too old. I'm glad they lit him up. Every time I think of Chuck Schumer, I think about his soup naps. We follow this person on Twitter. What is his name? Everyone needs to follow him.
No.
Ben, yes. Ben Rosen.
There we
go. Ben Rosen.
Yes.
Ben Rosen, he works for Funny or Die. He's hilarious. He's just always referencing Chuck Schumer's soup naps. And it's like, I don't even know if Chuck Schumer likes soup. But it's fucking funny and it fits.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so good. I mean, it is delightful. Yeah, what an asshole. Anyways, that was really good. Thank you for telling that story. Thank you.
I would argue yours was better.
They fit in well.
Yeah, we always say this, like, but Voltron, this was not planned.
When you said it was the tan suit, I'm like, oh my God, yes. Thank you. This is so good. But yeah, I guess our drinks are empty.
Almost empty-ish.
Our very strong drinks are almost empty. America's history is juicy. We just add gin and vermouth and fancy cherry Italian, what's it called?
Luxardo liqueur.
So, so good. We just add these things. Thank you so much to Tim Clough, our editor, our sound engineer, and our podfather. We could not do this without his hard work. I'm Stephanie Domingo.
I'm Tux Lerzel.
We out of here. Beyond Reproach is proudly recorded in Bushwick, Brooklyn. New episodes are released the first and third Monday of every month. Please note that we are not historians. We are just a couple of drunks who never shut up and love history. Full list of all source information can be found in the show notes on our website. Please take a moment to rate, review, and subscribe. Written reviews are especially important. If you like us, please do one of two things. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or send this episode to a friend, family member, or someone you think would be into it. Don't forget to follow us on social media. Make sure you follow us on Instagram because we post our cocktail recipes the Thursday before each full episode. Please drink along with us if you are not driving. We also have a shop at beyondreproachpod.com. Get your merch, brand yourselves. We are on Patreon if anyone would love to show us some love and throw us some nickels to support the production of our show.